Whatever. You look beautiful, though. You look beautiful. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Feeling good. Can't complain. Everything's good.
Awesome. Let me make sure I say your name right.
So nice of you to reach out. And I love talking to people about like sex, food, rock and roll. That's my thing, you know, the sex SFR&R Inc.
Hell, we're going to rock and roll. We're going to sex, food, and rock and roll it today, then. Let me make sure I say your name right. Giovannina?
Giovannina. You know, those Italian names, there's a lot of syllables, and everybody tries to pronounce each one.
But
you could kind of smooth it out. Giovannina.
Giovannina. Bellina. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Author of, where did my notes go? Their cookbook's called Cooking with Flavor Bombs.
Cooking with Flavor Bombs, yep.
And you got two websites, flavorbombs.net and sexfoodandrockandroll.com.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Actually, I wait a second.
Cool.
Yeah. Here's the cookbook.
All right, there's the cookbook.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is just so exciting to actually get a cookbook, a publishing deal. It was a real, you know, it wasn't self-published, so it was pretty exciting.
We're going to talk all about that. I'm going to go ahead and start this thing.
That sounds good.
All right, let's do this. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Check Service Industry Podcast. I'm Rashawn Parker, and we're going to talk about all things service industry related, food, or whatever the hell else we feel like talking about. But before we start doing that, if you haven't, please go watch my television series, Beyond the Check Worker Owner Edition, where I go hang out with super awesome chef owners, find out about their lives, the history of the restaurant, and of course, we cook up and try some of the best dishes they have to offer. Now streaming on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV, Fox's Tubi TV, it's free TV. Go watch my show. I have a fantastic guest today. She is an author. She loves food. She loves rock and roll and sex. I don't think I put those in the right order. I believe it's sexfoodandrockandroll.com is where you can find my fantastic guest, Giovannina Bellino. Did I say it right?
Well, hello.
No, Joe.
Gio. Stick with Gio.
Gio Bellino.
There you go. I know. It's
hello,
actually,
darling.
I'll let you in on a secret that really, my name is Giovannina Jennifer as my middle name. But most of my life I went by Jennifer because, you know, back in the 60s, there were no Giovanninas. Now you could be anything and everybody's cool with it. But you see, like, it's a tough name to pronounce sometimes.
Only when you're looking at it. Like, if I wasn't looking at it, I think I would have said it fine. But I, like, looked down as I tried to say it and I was like, and I tried to pronounce the syllables again.
A lot of syllables in there, yeah.
A lot of syllables.
But it's a pretty name, though. It was my grandmother's name.
Oh, lovely.
Pretty name.
People mess up my name all the time, so.
Well, your name is very interesting, too. Yeah, it's an unusual name.
I get everything. Rashan, Rahan, Rashid, Rahib, Rahan. You name it, I've been called it. But if you just have to say it fast, like Rashan. It's like Rush, right? It's fast.
It's a toughie too.
I did theater all through high school and 4 years of the same teacher, right? And I was Rayshawn, for 4 years. And she'd get corrected by like my classmates. They'd be like, Mrs. Boer, it's Rashawn. And she'd get it right like twice. And then it was immediately to Rayshawn. Whatever.
It's an interesting name.
Yours too. So you do lots of fun things. You wrote a cookbook a while ago. We'll just dive right into that. How did you get your cookbook published?
Well, I got the cookbook published. I got a phone call one day with a publisher saying that they thought my product line, it actually stems from a product line I developed and had in supermarkets called Flavor Bombs.
Yeah.
And what they are cooking bases that really developed from my love of gardening and making pestos, as a lot of Italians, a lot of people do. Anyone who gardens makes pestos from their different herbs, whatever. So I made various pestos. I then even started with like the onion and garlic. And because if you're Italian, most of what you make starts with onion, garlic, parsley, basil, and olive oil. A lot of things start with that, which is basically called a sofrito, which is also popular in the Spanish cuisine. They have a sofrito. Pretty much almost every culture has a sofrito, which is, stands for like slowly fry or things like that. A little composition of your base ingredients. That's your building block to whatever you're going to make with.
So like in America, so we do like the onion, carrot, celery.
That's a mirepoix, basically, I think originated in French. And then in the Cajun cuisine, it's the Trinity, which is celery, onion, and green pepper instead of the carrot. Oh. So it's quite across the board in all cultures, which I found, you know, really interesting. So I did my basic Italian with the pesto, the onion and garlic. Then I branched into a sage, which was like my favorite. It just smells like Thanksgiving sage with shallots and pecans and shallot. Yeah, shallots, really nice. And then I did the mirepoix, the carrot, celery, onion with butter. So I had a line of five products that I marketed nationwide and got in stores.
Very cool.
And then that.
Well, how did you do that? How did you do that?
It started at farmers markets. Yeah. I loved the farmers market thing. I was making them at home, putting them in little, those little cup containers that you get little food in, and selling my wares at farmers markets, which was really great. And I'd make samples of dishes you could make with it, and people loved tasting and all that. And then from there, I said,
marketing. You're like, eat the food with it. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll have to go home and make this now.
Exactly. And, you know, so it started with the product. Like, yeah, you like this meatloaf. I started making turkey meatloafs mostly because that used a couple of the different flavors. And being Italian, you do the beef, pork, and veal usually. But to be more palatable to a larger variety of people, I went with the ground turkey. And I'll tell you, when I would do demos in store, they'd run out of ground turkey. It's because people love the flavor of it. And I had recipe cards made up and all of that. And it was great. And I got with distributors. It was a lot of work. Then, you know, when moving into a professional kitchen, I started renting space. This is a good tutorial for anyone who's planning on doing this kind of thing. I got my food handler's license. I sent my recipes to the Cornell Institute to make sure everything was right, because now you're packaging something now to.
So what does Cornell do to help
you out? They test your process and make sure it's sort of legit and that kind of thing. I don't know if they worry that much about it.
Shelf stable and all that?
I'm sorry?
Like shelf stable and all that?
Yeah, mine was actually a frozen product, which is a tough product to sell.
Yeah, you got freezer space, huh?
I got freezer space.
Impressive.
Which wasn't easy and expensive and not very profitable at all. Not at all. The food industry, we all love food and we all love restaurants, which I know is also a tough business, but boy, that food industry and trying to sell
in a big box store. Yeah.
And I was in a couple of hundred stores all over,
nice.
But now you're at the mercy of the distributors and they didn't necessarily do the right thing at all. You know, when you've got like, you're sending pallets to them of product and they're not getting it in the stores for you. For grand openings and things of that nature. And
were they keeping it frozen or were they just letting it go bad?
Well, no, they kept it in freeze. It was frozen and it didn't go bad. But why didn't you get it to the store that was opening, you know, a grand opening? I promised them they'd have it there. They loved my product. I'd go to, I started doing the fancy food show at the Javits Center. I even did one in Frisco, San Francisco, which was really a blast. So I was out there. I was out there.
You got
there.
To travel. You got to go have some fun on the road.
Had fun on the road. A lot of fun on the road. Yeah, it was the perfect thing to do as an empty nester with my husband.
Oh, you guys got to go do that together?
We did it together. He's like sort of semi-retired, so he kind of had fun with it and invested, you know, the bigger bucks in it for me. Had a beautiful package.
Good man.
I still have the website.
What's his name? His first name?
Michael.
Michael. Thanks, Michael.
Shout out to Michael.
You're a good man, sir.
He is a good man and supported me. But you know what? It reached a point with the stores and the distributors and the things and just being very difficult to manage. And I kind of pulled the plug, which might not have been such a bad thing since who knows where it would be right now with stores. It's tough. One of the things that I learned is if you're a small fry and you get out there in the big boy world and everybody loves it and you're getting orders. I mean, every buyer loved it. My first order was like a $65,000 order with distributors, but I wasn't ready for that. I really wasn't.
But you just got out of the garage, right?
I made a beautiful product because I found a co-packer right here on Long Island. So I found a company that had a big commercial kitchen and I was there. I was local, so I was there with my team. We'd make the product. So as far as making the product, I supplied the demand, but at the store level, and then I got in King Cullen, they went out of business. I got in Worldbounds, they went out of business. I got in ShopRite, they went out of business.
I haven't even heard of those stores in years.
You haven't heard of them in years, right? There you go. I'll drink to that right now.
Man, cheers.
And then the phone rings one day and I get the call from a publisher saying, you know, we think Flavor Bombs could be a really cool cookbook. I said, absolutely, I'm on board. Now, I had 5 flavors. They said, the only thing is we'd like at least a dozen flavors to make it an interesting book. So that's when I did my research and I learned all about the Suppengrün, which is the German sort of flavor bomb that stands for soup greens. It's got caraway and carrot and leeks and delicious. I made a Spanish sofrito. I made a Thai. Then I played around and did like a Texas, little Texas heat bomb and
all different
flavor bombs. Really nice. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. And then they asked for a smoothie bomb. And I said, no, that I'm not a smoothie person. I'm really not. Bacon and eggs. I'm not eating a green smoothie.
Green smoothie, huh? Not a green drink lady, huh?
No, I'm not. Yeah. No, I'm really not.
I make
really
a fruity pebbles.
You what?
I make a fruity pebbles. So I say that because it looks like fruity pebbles in the glass, but like carrots, kale, apples, strawberries, sometimes raspberries. Fruit color, blueberries, whatever. And then by the time it's all blended, when you look, it's green, but like it's got all these little pieces and it looks like fruity pebbles. Yeah. All different little colors from the orange and the red and the pink and the, So, and it tastes good. It doesn't, I don't put crazy things in my smoothies like beets or stuff that makes it taste bad because I want to enjoy my smoothie.
You want to enjoy it. Right. Like my husband makes a smoothie every morning. I buy a 30-pound box of frozen blueberries I have out in the freezer in the garage because you'd be surprised how many blueberries you go through every day when you're making. And he puts oatmeal in it. So I started making oatmeal bombs. I make a big pot of oatmeal. I put it in ice cube trays and freeze it, pop them out, put them in the freezer. And now he throws that in there. He puts kiwi.
That's a fun trick.
The protein powder, a chocolate protein powder, chocolate almond milk.
So you see,
it's good.
You by default somehow ended up making a smoothie bomb, though, even though you didn't want to.
I ended up making. Well, it's an oatmeal bomb to use in a smoothie. But see, when I taste his chocolate smoothie, I want it with my cheeseburger, like as my, I want like my cheese, like it tastes like a shake.
Right.
It tastes like a, you know, like give me a chocolate shake and a burger. Like that's how I want to eat it. To just
French,
have that.
Dip some French fries in it.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm funny. I just am not, I'm not a liquid. When I eat, I like to eat. But anyway, so I
touché,
published darling. The
cookbook. Touché.
So the cookbook is a joy. It's a really a cool book. People get a lot of good ideas from it.
You're the, you. I wrote down, you are the master of bases.
Yeah, there you go.
You're the, you're,
ace
you know,
of base.
There's the ace of base, right? But well, oh, yes, yes. I think it's already taken.
See
them.
How rock and roll ties in? Uh-huh. Well, how is that for a segue?
Boom, you, all right. Let's get to rock, ace of base. Leading into rock and roll. What do you do on your website? Sex, drugs, and, or sex, drugs.
Sex, food.
Sex,
well,
food.
Well, became sex, food, because and I utilized my food addiction by, like, coming up with that idea, actually. I don't have a drug addiction, but I kind of have a food addiction. And
it works.
The website, Sex, Food, Rock and Roll, is so old school, if I tell you. It's like, it was built, like, piece by piece back in the day. It, you know, I was just a happy housewife and the internet happened and I was like, oh, I could do a website and just express myself. And that's what I did. And I found a guy who was our computer guru kind of geek, and he built this website with me. So when you go on Roadhouse Blues plays, I probably would get in trouble for that, I guess. I don't know.
And, I think you're it's right.
Just, and my daughter's a drummer. I have a daughter who's a drummer, a professional drummer. With a band right now called Life of Agony. Big following. They're going back on tour. And she's played with Jeff Beck and DMC she plays with. And I saw her play with Richie Sambora in London about 5 years back.
So who's happier about this, her or you?
Well, I'm the mother, so I'm happier and I brag about it. But it's just a pretty cool thing, and I, you know,
that's badass.
I just remember the, yeah, it was very cool. I mean, not many daughters, you know, when they're like 13, you know, it's like, mom, I want to play, you know. I says, what? She said, drums. I said, drums. So we rented a set for a year, and then I realized her drum teacher said, you know, your daughter really can play. She's like really playing. She's good.
It wasn't a fad. You didn't
need, man.
You can
She's
buy the actual set now. You don't have to rent anymore.
Yeah. I bought her first set for her confirmation. And since then she's bought multiple sets. And of course there, a lot of them have been stored at mommy's house and daddy's house for years. But yeah, she's pretty cool. She's probably, you know, one of the coolest daughters you could have, I guess. She's great. And she puts herself out there and a hard worker and, so it's fun.
What was her favorite thing for you to make her when she was a kid?
Probably chicken cutlets and eggplant parmesan.
All right.
Yeah. But she's a great cook. She's a good cook, too. She did Christmas Eve this year. I was very proud of her. Because I redid my kitchen. She did the seven fishes. You know, we do the seven fishes.
Oh, no. Tell me about the seven fishes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Italians do the seven fishes because I think it stems from, you know, Jesus with a basket with seven fish and then fed the multitudes. So somehow we're getting into religion now too, but.
So I really just want to know about these fish.
Yeah, seven fish.
And so are they seven different types of fish, or is it one fish cooked seven different ways?
Seven different ways, seven different fish. Yes,
seven
absolutely.
Seven different fish cooked seven different ways.
Pretty much. Well, no, you can have multiples. Like if we make the big pot of the seafood sauce, and we'll have clams and calamari and shrimp and that kind of thing in the pot of red sauce.
All right.
You know, that kind of a thing.
Let's walk me through fish number one. What are we doing with fish number one?
Fish number one. So you're actually taking notes on this. Fish number one is clams.
Clams. All right. So it's really more.
It's not a fish, but it's a seafood, I guess.
Really, it's really more of the seven seafoods.
We do the clams oreganata.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm making my fish list. So, all right, fish number two.
we'll go with the calamari. The calamari.
All
the
right.
Sauce.
How are we doing calamari? Are we frying it? What are we doing?
We usually put it in the sauce. Well, we simmer it in the tomato sauce. shrimp, along with shrimp, and maybe some lobster meat in there.
Okay, all right.
Like a big, what you call the super dish.
This is way better than just having seven different fish. This is way better. All right, what?
Yeah. And then we do, like I said, so we've got the clams, the calamari, the shrimp in the sauce, the lobster. What else would go in that sauce? That might be that. We do like a fried filet sole.
Sole. That's five. Have some sole. Brazino?
Yeah, fried filets of sole. Then we do the king crab legs.
All right.
That's six.
That's six.
And now seven. Seven Brazino. Is super... seven is really weird. Seven is the salt cod.
Okay, I was looking. There we go.
Have you ever seen it in the fish markets? Looks like a big plank of salty nothing.
And you soak it. You get it already salted?
Well, you have to reconstitute it. At around the holidays, if you go into a fish market, you'll see these look like big planks of cardboard, stiff as a board, salted, salted. And that's salt cod.
It's basically just dried fish then.
Like. Dried fish. So now you have to soak it for days to get the salt out.
And bring it back to life.
Change that water and it's just, it's an old school thing. Not a lot of people don't want it, but my mother did it. And my mother-in-law used to love it too. And so once you get all the salt out, you soak it day after day in ice water, throw out the water, and then you simmer it like with some olive oil and maybe a little water, clam juice. You make like a little simmer, and then you make a salad with it. And believe it or not, it's called what it's actually called. I don't know if you get people who it's salt cod. Bacala, that's what it is. Bacala salad.
And your daughter made all that this year.
Well, she didn't do the bacala because that's a pain in the ass. so I think we had five or six.
For her first one, she did good.
Yeah, she did awesome. So a bacala salad, potatoes and celery and olives. It's quite a delicacy and it's quite a job. So.
Yes, I mean, that all sounds like work.
That's all work. It's all work. Yeah.
Thanks, Grandma. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so a lot of good food in my life.
Very nice.
And a lot of good rock and roll. I've always, my first concert was the Doors.
Your first concert was the Doors?
Yeah. That's how old I am.
Congratulations.
That's how old I am. But I was young. I was like 11, but that still makes me old. And I ended up going because my older brother was going with some friends and his girlfriend. And the one friend, his friend who I had a crush on, his girlfriend was sick and couldn't go. So my brother dragged me with him. It was like, oh my God, at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden, I saw the Doors at like 11 years old and getting high with my brother, who he didn't think I really even was already doing that, but I was. And that started me on a life of concert going. That's all I did through high school was go to concerts.
I mean, you had the perfect era for it. My first concert was Pearl Jam, I think. And I was like 14.
That's a good one.
It was the second album. It wasn't even 10. It was Reverses, I think. But a funner story is my father at a Rolling Stones concert that I'm going to tell you the story that they used to tell me. Is that they went to this Rolling Stones concert and somehow my dad, tripping his balls off, manages to like get under the stage and then backstage, and they catch him and they throw him out of the concert. And somehow he gets in, back under the stage, and then back backstage, and they catch him again. And this time they this time they arrested him and went and put him in a holding cell. But he used to say that he swore to God, like they put him in this, but he was there. He was still listening to the concert the whole time, sitting in
Yeah, yeah.
sitting in that cell. He's like, they took me away, but I was still there.
But those were the days when you were able to get close enough to do that. Now they've got like armed guards. Like you can't even, you could lucky if you could stand up out of your seat anymore. It's very strict now.
And I was like, I have no idea how he did it. He just kept ending up under the stage. He just disappeared and he was up on the stage in the back and he was like, oh, and then the guards are grabbing him. She's like, and then they took him away the second time and I just didn't know what happened to him. I mean,
that's crazy.
Eventually called us like the next day.
I got myself a ticket for the second row for Elton John's farewell concert at the Garden. It's been postponed for 2 years. We'll see. It's supposed to be February 22nd. We'll see if it happens.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll see. And one of the best concerts I ever went to, and this was a testament to back in the day what you were able to do, Sly and the Family Stone at the Garden. What a concert, because it was kind of after Woodstock, the movie Woodstock. You know, I didn't go to Woodstock, but I saw the movie at a drive-in, and you pretended you were there, and, you know.
That was the thing?
Oh, yeah.
I bet just the drive-ins were huge parties then. I never heard that before.
Oh,
I've never been told, like, the drive-in stories of the Woodstock movie.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in a drive-in. And being sitting like up on the roof of the car and just pretending you were there. It was awesome. It was, drive-ins were great. I love drive-ins.
Yeah, it's just a huge party in the parking lot.
They're starting to do that more now out here in the suburbs anyway in Long Island.
What are they doing
They're starting to do the drive-ins.
Are they doing the, do you have the window thing still? Or like, is it like a Bluetooth somehow to like your car?
It's a Bluetooth thing now, yeah. You ever see that thing on Facebook? If you know what this is, you're old. And it's the speaker.
Yeah. Man, I remember the speaker when I was a kid. And then I remember it switching to it. They've transmitted over like an AM radio station. So then you could just tune in to the movie. And then drive-ins pretty much died after that. And then
I don't know why. It was so fun. We used to go all the time down the Jersey Shore, and I grew up in New Jersey. And but one of my best concerts, one of my favorite, was Sly and the Family Stone. And when they did "I Want to Take You Higher" and all that, there literally was a conga line with, and I don't know if they even had, some people had toilet paper, going around the aisles, through the hall, even out into like where the concession stands are. We did conga lines around the entire Madison Square Garden. You could never do that today. Again, never. And boy, oh boy, was that fun.
Around the seats or down in the field?
Out of our seats, conga lining through the whole place, dancing with just strangers. It was like, I don't know, rows and rows of people up doing that.
Like the greatest wave ever.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, like the greatest wave ever. But a conga line.
It was. Yeah. And even then I thought to myself, wow, this is pretty special that they're letting us do this. You know? So it's even back then. Oh, man. And
what killed the drive-in? I can't.
Where
what? Like, what killed the drive-in? I'm just like.
Well, that's a good question. Probably videos.
Video.
Maybe videos?
Yeah.
Blockbuster? Did Blockbuster Video kill the drive?
I don't know, because people still went to the movie theater, and like, you know, going to, even in the 90s, because that's when it kind of faded away, was in the 90s. And like, you know, I remember the 90s, like, if there was drive-ins, I'm sure we would have gone to them, right? Because you could drink in the car, you can smoke in the car, you can't smoke in theaters, so like
right. Well, that's how old I am. We used to smoke in theaters.
You used to be able to smoke in theaters. I mean, shit, I think I even remember when you could smoke in theaters.
Yeah, which I never liked because it really was kind of claustrophobic.
Oh, I mean, you could smoke everywhere. You could smoke in the birthing room, like back in the 50s. Like,
yeah. Well, I remember smoking on airplanes. You went to the back of the plane, and that didn't bother anybody.
Smoking or non. because this isn't going to drift anywhere. Smoking or non. Everywhere.
Smoking or non, right. I mean, all those things are better. There's a lot of things that I miss and were kind of better then, but some things like that are better now. It's better that we don't smoke on airplanes or in movie theaters.
I mean, I even voted, I smoked at the time, but when they passed the to ban cigarettes inside bars and stuff, I voted for banning it.
Yeah, I know.
I'd rather go outside and smoke anyway. This is disgusting. Like, or people who just drive around with their car windows up smoking. Like, remember that?
Yeah.
They leave the windows up.
Or mothers with kids in the car in the back seat. Like, you know. And then there's always the old Italian ladies with the thing hanging out of their mouth and they're stirring the pot of sauce. the ash this long hanging off like. Naughty, be careful there, don't drop that in the sauce.
I'm pretty sure that was like those were scenes directly out of that diner show. The old diner show, like early 70s or late 60s.
Her name, the waitress with the little push up and the that was from a movie. Wasn't it a spinoff from the movie?
It might have been. There's something diner.
Ellen Burstyn's movie.
Something. Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Somebody comment the answer to this.
Oh, man. I remember Bacalaga.
Flow? No.
Yeah, well, Flow was the spinoff, I think, from that. Flow was the waitress.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And then, yeah.
But the cook, the old dude in the back, all greasy, you know, like he.
With the hat. Weird hat.
Yeah, and cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
That was a spinoff from the movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
Really?
With Ellen Burstyn. She worked in a diner. And then Kris Kristofferson came in.
Was the show called Alice's Diner?
Alice.
It was just called Alice.
There you go.
We did it.
Yeah. Well, all that smoking, all that getting high back in the day didn't really burn that as many brain cells as I thought.
Good show. Probably streaming on Tubi TV. P.S. While you're there, go watch my show. anyway.
What's in that vape you're smoking?
Oh, just it needs to be zero nicotine, but it still has nicotine.
One thing I do not like, and I don't nearly indulge like I used to or anything, but I really don't care for edibles. You know? I don't really care for edibles at all. I've tried it.
I was never
a big
eater of them. But I do find that it's more like medicine that way. Like, you know, you just like pain or like anxiety or anything like that. Like, it's like a Xanax. You know, you eat a brownie in the morning and like, you know, takes your anxiety away as opposed to just being like, you know, just lasts longer. It's like taking a pill. You know, it's just like
I guess I have that mindset that whenever I would want to get high, you'd have a joint and you'd get high and you're high.
Yeah.
Like, one minute. This is great. Whatever. Great. Instantaneous. Great.
Hour later.
Someone gave me some chocolate. I ate, and they said to eat two, and I only ate one because just to be sure. And like nothing happened. It's like, okay, we're an hour and a half in. Nothing happened yet. I ate the other square. I got so sick and so high. It was not pleasant.
Like
it
2 hours
really wasn't.
Later?
2 hours later and not really feeling great. And, you know, to me, that's the fun of getting high. So,
instantaneous gratification.
That's it. That's the part of it.
I didn't know I was planning for 3 hours from now. Yeah, but that all,
cool,
you know,
show
yeah.
About edibles, though, right? Have you watched that food show where everything they cook with is edibles?
Yeah, at the they have the kitchen with like the crazy cabinet, and it just has like everything you could ever imagine with like all kinds of different infused like oils and flavors.
Yeah,
that scares
me. I don't know. That scares me.
I'm taking.
It's cool, but it scares me.
I'm taking my mom to either Colorado or to Illinois for season 4 of my show. And so we're either going to go to Colorado and hang out with her friends there, or we're going to do a family thing because I'll pick her up in Ohio and we'll go through Michigan and then up to Illinois and see different family members and stay with them on the way and go to restaurants in those areas. on the way to Illinois. And then when we get to Illinois, because you can't actually have a weed restaurant, right? So they have to be personal chefs. So I'm just going to have the weed chef come to the Airbnb and make us food.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Wow. And your mom is going to enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. She's very much so.
Yeah.
I told her I might want to change it to going across Michigan and up to Illinois. And she's a little disappointed that it might not be Colorado, but.
Yeah. Where are you located?
I'm in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, you are? I love Southern food. Love.
We got a lot of it.
Yeah. Interesting too, because I've always felt that Southern food and sort of Italian food are similar in a certain regard, that we both love fried.
Fried. No noodles, though.
We both love our greens.
No noodles here, though.
No noodles, but we also love our bread and our carbs. I love a good biscuit. Oh, my God. In fact, in my cookbook, I do I do like the Mornay, just the white sauce bomb, so to speak. Yeah, I had to make a white sauce. Right. And I do a biscuit and sausage thing.
Oh, I love sausage and biscuits. Is my downfall.
Sausage gravy
and biscuits.
I love Southern food. I truly do. Yeah. Give me a good fried chicken. I love that.
I order, if there's sausage gravy and biscuits on the menu, I order it every time.
I bet.
So I've had lots of different sausage gravy. And you want to know the sad truth of what my favorite sausage gravy is?
It's
McDonald's.
A McDonald's?
McDonald's.
Do they make one? They make that?
Sausage gravy biscuits? Yes.
Yeah.
And it's fucking fantastic.
Is it?
Really? I've eaten it since I was a kid, right? I remember skipping school in high school and like we'd go get sausage gravy biscuits at McDonald's. So it might be that I just have this permanent like attachment to it, but it's spicy. It is literally one of the best sausage gravies.
How do you like that? Yeah, it hits all the notes.
It's spot on. Nothing. I mean, everything else at McDonald's can go to hell, but like that gravy and biscuit, man. And they don't sell it anywhere. You can't buy it in the store. It's weird. McDonald's doesn't sell like any of the. And it's like the one thing I'm like, I wish I could buy that.
Great. That would be a hit too. But now I don't know if they do it in the Northeast. Maybe it's a Southern McDonald's.
I was in Ohio when I grew up and we always had it there.
All right.
They got it. I'm not saying go to McDonald's, but perchance.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have one nearby. I used to love Big Macs.
Oh, it's trash. It's so disgusting. Now, if you go have one for fun and just be like, why did I ever like this?
Yeah. <They're not good. laughs> But I don't know where I live.
I do like a Whopper, though. I'm not going to lie.
They don't, where I am, they don't let you have like fast food places, really. Like all local.
That's good, though.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. But you know what? I go like way out of my way when I feel like some Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's like I go way out of my way to go get it.
My wife loves Chick-fil-A. That's her. I don't like it.
Oh, Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had Chick-fil-A for the first time in Tennessee, and I thought it was a little overrated. I don't know. It was good, but it was a little bland and dry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The fries are floppy. No. No.
Yeah.
They do
service
have.
Service was lovely.
Oh, they're the best service you'll ever have.
Was lovely, but my friend was raving about it. I says, I don't know. Give me a good greasy Kentucky Fried. Oh, actually, Popeyes.
Popeyes is really good.
Popeyes. You know how I discovered Popeyes? Only a few years ago. I mean, I've heard of it, but I just never really went there.
I hadn't had it either until like 3 or 4 years ago. Yep.
Maybe we had it on the same day.
Maybe we did.
My mother-in-law, rest her soul, was in a nursing home, a rehab center, in an area where to get there was a Popeyes. And you'd go and visit and you'd hang out and whatever. And then it's like, all right, Mom, I'm just going to leave for a little while, go get lunch and I'll come back. And I said, there's my chance to try Popeyes because there's no Popeyes near me. Wow. It was awesome.
It is.
I wish I lived really good. It was awesome. Yeah.
I prefer KFC's biscuit and honey.
Right.
The chicken is so much better at Popeyes.
Chicken is so much better.
And the mashed potatoes are actually a little bit better. But I do love the KFC gravy fake ass fuck flavored potatoes. I don't know. They're good.
Yeah.
It's awful, but it's good.
Yeah. I make a mean, talking about potatoes, with the rosemary flavor bomb, which is fresh rosemary, garlic, lemon juice, and lemon zest, and pinoli nuts, and olive oil. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. And, oh man, you want to rub that paste, because it's like a chunky paste. You want to rub that on a rack of lamb, or I make rosemary potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I buy the frozen store brand potatoes, not seasoned or not flavored. I buy the steak fries. I cut them. I let them defrost just enough. I either use a scissor, I cut them, toss them with olive oil and start browning them in the oven. And then I slather on the flavor bomb mixed with some olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of salt and pepper. And wow, you want to put them in a little bag and just eat them. Really good. My son loves them. I love potatoes.
Who doesn't love potatoes?
That's why I love Southern food too. Yeah.
My wife's favorite thing is just potatoes or grilled cheese. Potatoes, grilled cheese, hamburger.
Oh, good grilled cheese. Potatoes. I make grilled cheese with turkey and tomato. My husband likes it with the tomato on it. I love it. Your brother, does she butter both sides of the bread?
Yeah. I mean, I make them for her. She doesn't.
You make them, Gina.
Yeah, you got to butter both
sides.
You
know what I use sometimes?
Sometimes I cheat and just use a toaster oven because I'm lazy. But
I use a toaster oven?
Sometimes I'm lazy.
I just use a frying pan. Because if I'm going to have grilled cheese.
Traditionally, I will. But if I'm just, she's like, make me a grill. Toast it.
Yeah.
It's done.
I know what you mean. Sometimes I'll just make an English muffin and throw some cheese and butter on it and pop it in the toaster oven. Yeah, yeah.
I tried the air fryer. Not the best idea.
You have an air fryer, huh?
I got an Ninja.
Yeah. I don't know how to use that thing. I don't have one, but my son does at his house, and I don't know how to use it.
It's super convenient. It's ridiculously convenient because you can just – we have the griller one too. I don't really use it to grill often. And it's not good for frying battered stuff, right? But just for frozen French fries or onion rings or warming up leftover food that you wouldn't normally eat ever because it's just going to be soggy and gross, like air fry. Yeah. It's, these French fries are real French fries again. Like, it can bring food back to life.
Yeah.
Unlike, a microwave or even in the oven. It's really just a super convection oven. That's all it is. It's just super convecting, right? So...
Right. Which I just ordered, and with the supply chain issues, it's not coming until March, and I ordered it last March. This is what they call, I think they use them in restaurants. It's been around, though, a speed oven, which is a combination, microwave, convection, air fryer, all this stuff. So once I get my hands on that, I'll see what that can do. but it does that idea, what you're saying, yeah. I mean, I love, give me a cast iron pot pan and some oil and duck fat. Do you ever cook with duck fat?
No, but I do cast iron almost everything. Do you make duck first and save the fat, or do you?
No, I buy it online. I buy a big tub of it and then break it down and keep it in the freezer. And wow, just when you melt it down in the pan alone, the aroma really makes a mean grilled cheese and you get a crispness and it just adds a flavor and there's less cholesterol than butter.
Yeah.
Apparently, it says. I buy it from Maple Leaf Farms, the turkey people
on
their website.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Huh. Just less fat, less fat than olive oil? No.
No, it's an animal fat, so it's a little different, but it's closer to olive oil than, say, first of all, lard or
bacon,
butter.
Bacon fat.
Well, bacon fat. I save the fat of that all the time. I save that.
I used to, and then I just had so much of it. What?
I have bacon fat bombs.
Bacon fat bombs.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can do... Flavor bombs. A flavor bomb is anything that you cook and you put in an ice cube tray when it's cool enough and freeze it and bag it. And there's your little bomb.
A flavor.
It's just boom. It's my maple bacon fat bomb. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Did you ever think of canning it or like putting it in like a balloon kind of packaging? Would it work?
You know, I thought of that because what is there that's like that, that it dissipates and opens up? I did, but it's such an expensive process.
Or just so that it was sealed so it wouldn't have to be frozen.
Well, what my chef at my co-packing plant, when we were thinking of trying to go shelf-stable because it was so difficult in the frozen area, all you have to do is add citric acid. Oh. Which is not a bad thing, apparently, because it was a beautiful product. It was a clean product. Whenever I tried to, you know, any sales meetings I went to, they were like, this is a clean product. It's olive oil, blah, 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 blah. But a little citric acid makes it shelf stable. So we were thinking of doing that, and you never know, it can happen again. But
no matter what, we can get your cookbook and make
bombs. Well, I'll tell you, you don't need my flavor bombs. You make your own. You know what the beauty of the idea of my cookbook, what I like about it, is that nothing has to be exactly followed. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, I love cooking. That's why cooking versus baking is so great. You don't have to be so precise. You know, you want more or less, or you don't have this, you don't like pinoles, or you're allergic to them. Doesn't matter. So you know what I mean? Like,
substitute out. It's your flavor bomb. Make it the bomb you want.
You bet. Right. Flavor the bomb, that bomb, the way you want. Exactly. So it's, but the concept of it is a cool idea that, like sometimes, you know, you might make a chicken franchise or chicken marsala, or you're making a sauce of something and you're like, wow, this sauce was really good this time, or even if it's not, or whatever you do. And I always save a little of it and put it no matter what it is I make, I save a little, especially if it's freshly made, and you have it to add. Like, you know what, I'm going to make chicken again next week. It may not be marsala, but even if I'm just going to bake it in an oven, a little of this on there is going to give it a little kick. And you'll find you use less salt, less like dry, crappy.
Because you're just adding flavor.
Salty. Because real flavor. You can go in your freezer and have, well, gee, I've got a little of this. I got a little maple bacon fat. I got a little marsala sauce. Let's see what those do together and spread that on that and stick it in a pan. And there are times when I literally do my little prep thing of all little containers from the oven. Boop, 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 boop. I'm not starting with fresh onion and garlic. I'm not sure. Like, it's all already
it's
there.
It's already there.
That's the idea.
It's just, it's simplifying a lot of the prep, right? Like, instead of having to slow cook your onions and your carrots all over again, I already have all that flavor in this bomb. Right. Basically,
that's the idea.
Your own homemade bouillon.
It's like your freezer becomes your little laboratory of, I've got this and this and this and this and this. And, well, that's how it started, the idea of trying to make a product, is when I would cook every night. And my kids were young, so I was cooking for five every night. And I said, you know what? Instead of every night pulling out the onion and garlic, let me saute like five onions and
five
two heads of garlic and freeze it. And that's how that started. And because you're still cooking, and, you know, like, I never liked the concept of take your Sunday and cook for the whole week.
Right.
No, Sunday's my day of rest. You ever see that? That's a tip that a lot of people give. Like, take a day and cook all day. No, I don't want to do that. It's not a holiday. It's Sunday. But what I will do is, if I'm going to pull out and make a pot of sauce and fry a couple of onions, let me fry four of them and then freeze it. And I've got it for next week or for two or three weeks type of thing. And so
less chopping. Less work just all around in your day-to-day cooking.
It really is. It really, really is. And it's easy if you make using, whether you're using, even if it's, I love the packaged brown gravy mixes and all that sometimes, or the, there's a lot of stuff out there that makes it easy for you. Even that in the supermarkets now, you can get the whole container of carrot, celery, onion.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And, but even if you're one person or two people and you're like, oh, I bought this, but I don't need that much. Yes, you do. Throw it in the frying pan. Put some butter, make the whole thing, and now freeze it.
I save all my pasta jars, like all the jars. My wife hates me. She's like, why are you keeping all the jars? I'm like, I don't honestly know why, but now I do.
Now you know. You could save,
so just freeze the jars,
save them,
right?
And throw stuff in it that you made, whether it's a soup. I mean, when I make a pot of soup, there is no way that I am not going to freeze some containers of that broth or that stock and have it to throw in something. Yeah, sometimes you just need to moisten something up, or you just need to...
And instead of adding water.
Salt, you know, And you know what I love, a great ingredient, I'm sure you've spoken to many chefs about it, but I love miso.
Everybody loves miso.
Miso to cook with. No?
Yeah,
miso,
no, everybody paste. Loves miso, yeah.
Everybody loves miso.
They don't even and know, like my wife would say that she hates it, but it's secretly in like so much stuff that she doesn't even know.
It's like the alternative to tomato paste, even tomato paste. If I buy a thing of tomato paste and I'm only going to use a scoop of it, I put a couple of scoops, just even on some wax paper, two little dollops, and then when it's frozen, put it in a little bag and keep it in the freezer. Because sometimes you just need...
A little bit, and you can't buy just a little bit, and you're not just going to keep it in the can, and you're probably not going to even... Most people, I wouldn't. If I'm just going to use half a little can of tomato, I'm just going to throw the rest of it away. You know,
No. It's too precious, it's too precious a commodity to even do that.
Waste, not people.
No, it's just, it's a great, anytime you open up a can of anything like that, you know, just throw it. I keep, and now I love the ice cube trays. I have different ice cube trays, but even just 8 cartons. And it actually surprises me that so many of the organic eggs come in this double plastic thing with the little things. What is that? What's up with that?
I don't know.
But I use them. I use them for flavor bombs.
You just freeze it in those, in the plastic egg container.
Freeze it in those, and then you pop them out. Sometimes you have to like put it over a little running hot water on the underside,
right,
and they pop right out and put them in a Ziploc bag. And I reuse those Ziploc bags. I like to try to, you know, I really don't like to make a lot of waste. I compost. That's a good thing. You know, you try to do your share.
Bravo, darling. Bravo.
I'll take a bow.
You've taught me lots of fun little tricks today.
A lot of, you know what? I've been a homemaker for many years, and I took to it. You know, not everybody does, but it really just seems to be something I really enjoy doing. And, you know, versus like, I mean, I'm not a Martha Stewart. I don't have a glue gun. I don't like care about that stuff so much in arts and crafts. But, you know, I like to really,
I feel like
I probably was like an old Southern woman or an old Italian woman who was out there. I like the labor of homemaking, I guess.
It's homey. It makes you feel,
makes
your soul feel warm.
Especially if you get a little buzz on and you put some music on, it's like, yeah, yeah.
My wife, she doesn't smoke, but she likes her Michelob Ultra, and she'll drink her Michelob Ultra, and she just cleans the house. That's what she does. I'm like, why don't you come hang out? And she's like, I'm not doing my thing. She got her headphones on. She got her beer.
Yeah.
And she's just,
there you go.
Up.
Yep.
It's
I love
fun.
Doing it.
That's what she wants to do.
There's times I say to myself that, you know what, if everything just, if I had to, I would be a great cleaning lady. I would be like, we
Luckily,
all
you
have
don't
those
have to.
Skills. And I really think service people will never go out of style and will always be needed. And I think if you have skills to be a service person. You know, sometimes it could be the most basic thing. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, making livings on helping people organize their drawers, you know, like,
right.
You like, know what I'm saying? It's there's books on it. There's all that kind of stuff. And it's good to know. It's good to know how to, you know,
the robot can't teach you how to declutter.
How to declutter. Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. How to declutter. There's books and books on that, man. And I love decluttering. If you ask my husband, if he, I don't know where he is right now, but if he came in, he'd say, all my wife does is organize. Organize, organize. But I enjoy that, you know.
You can come hang out in my office. Around. You can come hang out in my office for an afternoon. It's a mess.
I love doing that stuff. Michael, we're talking about organizing. He just walked in.
Hi, Michael.
Organizing. It's a big part of life. I've read somewhere that one of the first things they tell you to do, I guess if you're a good shrink, if you're depressed and you go to a shrink or something, and I'm not belittling that in any way, a psychiatrist, psychologist, a life coach, is to make your bed. One of the first things to do to lift your spirits, let's say, is to make your bed. Because then when you glance at that room or go upstairs or whatever, it's like, organized. Oh, look how lovely that looks. Instead of a messed up thing. You know?
Yeah.
Like I don't enjoy making the bed really that much, but I love the reward of it.
It does after. Always look nice.
It looks nice.
I'm the type of person like, why are you making the bed? We're just gonna mess it up again in 8 hours.
and it looks nice for you. You're not doing it if it's like a Tuesday afternoon and no one's coming over to show the house to.
Right.
You're doing it for yourself to make the room look nice.
I think we lost a lot of that. Like, you know, because that used to be a big thing, like making your corners, right? The tight corners, you know, like, you know, right?
The
like
army corners.
Uh-huh, yeah, army corners. That. Yeah. Like that was like, you had to, that was drilled into an entire generation, right? Of like, make your bed, make it good, right? Every morning. And that's gone.
Gone.
Right? Like,
but that's the kind of thing you can bring back in a heartbeat if you want. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, I don't know. I think it's a nice thing.
We're gonna need some sort of pandemic that requires bed making, because we finally got people washing their hands again. We can get them making their beds.
To make their bed. Hey, we're all spraying alcohol on it these days and whatever else we can. And believe me, I got rid of all the throw pillows years ago. You know, I don't need throw pillows. That's a pain in the neck. People who've got like 12 pillows on their bed. No, I just want it neat and made. I don't need all those pillows. But it lends into the homemaking thing, you know. I have read that they say that's something that can lift your spirits. Organizing and
decluttering, you know, even just cleaning out your wallet, cleaning out your purse so it's not just a crazy mess can keep you more focused for the day.
Yeah.
Little things. Like flavor bombs.
Like flavor bombs, exactly. Organize your sauces. organize your leftovers into flavor bombs.
Indeed. Gio, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
This has been really a lot of fun. I'd love to come back again if you invite me. A lot of fun talking to you.
I would love to hang out with you again. And if you're ever in Savannah, look me up. And if I'm ever in Rhode Island,
I will, because we might be driving down to Florida next time if we've got to be vaxxed to get on a plane. Yeah, that's right. Keep your fingers crossed that Elton says we don't have to be vaxxed, because I'm not, and I want to go see him. But you know,
I don't think you have to right now. So go while you can. Yeah, unless, are you trying to leave the country? If you're leaving the country, you do. But
no, not leaving the country. Well, Madison Square Garden in New York. New York, you have to be vaxxed to do anything.
But you got to go drive over to Jersey and fly out from Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can do that. Just fly out from Jersey. It's fine. All right. If you need an awesome book to make some flavor bombs from, you have to go get Gio's cookbook, Cooking with Flavor Bombs. Where can you get the book?
It's like $5 on Amazon.
It's like $5 on Amazon.
$5 on Amazon.
Go get it.
Yep.
Check out our website, Sex, Food, Rock and Roll. That's an and, full spelled and, Sex, Food, Rock and Roll.com. And yeah, check it all out. Awesome. You want any other shout outs? Where can people follow you? Instagram or anything? Could you hear me?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you that time.
Do you have any other places we should go follow you at? Facebook, Instagram?
Well, flavorbombs.net. Flavorbombs.net. A lot of good cooking videos. I'm not selling flavor bombs anymore, but just some good videos and good ideas on there.
And you can get the cookbook for $5 and make your own flavor bombs. Save the flavor. Awesome, darling. Well, have a wonderful evening. Tell your husband I said hello again. And
I will.
I look forward to
thank
seeing you
soon.
Thank
you so much. I enjoy your show. I've been watching your show, and I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you, man.
Very entertaining.
Awesome.
Ciao, Bella.